What's up, everybody? Welcome to Respect Our Authority, Wisecrack South Park podcast.
Where are you guys? I'm going home.
Actually, I was supposed to do this.
Respect my authority!
There we go. My name is Jared. I'm joined here with the authoritarians. We got Amanda.
Hey.
And Lux.
Yo.
And Ryan.
Howdy ho, neighbors.
So today we're talking about South Park Season 23, Episode 9, Basic Cable. As always, I'm going to guess what everyone thought about this episode, and I'm going to say that all around bees from everybody. All right, let's start with Amanda. How did I do?
Pretty close. I'd go B+. Like, I had a good time. I don't think it was deep. I don't think there's, like, much to write about it, but I appreciated all the tie-ins. You know, I thought it was... It felt like cumulative in a good way, and I laughed a lot. I really like the new girl. What's her name?
Sophie.
Sophie's cool. Yeah. Yeah.
She looks like you.
Oh, God. I did think, like, oh, we have the same kind of hair clip thing going on.
And the same color hair.
Yeah. I think I overly related to her for sure. But yeah, good time.
Because last season we had somebody who looks like Lux. And now this season we have somebody who looks like Amanda. Maybe they are listening.
Oh, my God.
Lux, what do you think?
I'm with Amanda. I'd say a B+. I kind of liked how, like, the episode was kind of a spoof on Disney Plus Marvel-y things. Well, like, internally and, like, formally, while also, you know, doing its bits about streaming and whatnot. Also, Scott Malkinson's so fucking funny to me. Also, cable people. Like, there's a lot that I, like, liked as individual goofs. So I'd say I did get B+. That was pretty fun.
Cool. Ryan, what about you?
I'm going to go, like, maybe D+. Maybe C- to D+. I thought this was kind of a miss. I like what they were going for with the whole, you know, just making a show out of all the lesser-known characters. That's cool. I kind of wish they'd gone more full force into that earlier in the season. It kind of seems like they made that decision halfway through the season. It seems kind of half-assed to me. But, yeah, I didn't really laugh at pretty much any of the Scott stuff. I don't know what if I just don't find diabetes jokes funny, but, like, it just was, like, not – I don't know. Maybe that was kind of the point, but I don't know. I like the cable guy storyline. Classic comedy. Cable guys are late. They give you a window of time. They're never there. Ha, ha, ha. I laughed at that. You know, like, that made me laugh. Other than that, that really gets the D+. Otherwise, I'd give it an F.
Jeez. Yeah, I didn't love this episode either, but I'm not that harsh about it. I'd probably give it a B- to a C+.
Yeah,
I think
yeah.
My problem with it is the same problem that Lux had with the Board Girls episode, in that it's a topic that I'm interested in, but I just didn't feel like they had anything terribly interesting to say about it, especially with streaming services. The only thing that they really had to say was the fact that, oh, it's cool because now you can watch whatever you want whenever you want, versus it reminded me a lot of the Uber episode. It was almost the same thing, in that in the Uber episode they showed the old method, which was cabs, which were horribly kept, which were all dirty and smelled bad, and yet they were complaining that a new business was coming in and taking all of their livelihood. And yet the Uber was super clean and very convenient. And it's kind of the same juxtaposition going on here. The cable guys are lazy and late, and the streaming services are super convenient and allow you to do whatever you want, whenever you want. But I don't know. I think some of the questions with streaming services are more about, do you own your own content? Why is it that there are so many of them? How can you possibly keep up with everything when you have to pay a monthly fee for 7 different streaming services? Those are kind of the things that I wish they touched on a little bit more.
And overall, the data-driven aspect of it.
The data-driven aspect of it, sure. So I thought it was a little bit of a missed opportunity. As far as Scott Malkinson, I'm a fan of Captain Diabetes, so I was happy to see that. And yeah, I think Ryan's right. They obviously only thought about this halfway through the season, because the first half of the season was just Tegrity Farms.
Right.
And then I suppose they said, oh, you know what? Let's just make this a thing where we focus on side characters for every episode. And to Lux's point, it is interesting how they contextualized that choice within the logic of streaming services, which we'll get to in a bit. But first, we're going to call the number that Trey puts at the end. Did you guys call the number?
I did.
Lux?
I called it.
Yeah, I phoned him.
Okay, well, we're going to do it live right now. Give me one sec.
Oh, hell yeah.
It's Trey. I can't come to the phone.
If you're calling about the streaming rights to our new and exciting shows, then listen closely to the following menu. For streaming rights to the Scott Malkinson Show, press 1. For PC Babies, press 2. If it's 1 for the ladies, press 3. For Integrity Farms, press 4. And for limited streaming rights to Queef Sisters, press 5.
I press
to
5.
To talk to Santa, press 6.
Oh, no, Santa, 6, yeah.
Press 9 to return to the main menu.
What should we press? Let's press
Santa's
let's press
pretty
2.
Funny, it says Queef Sisters.
They're cute, they're fun, and they poop everywhere. It's the PC Babies.
Yes.
Now available for streaming at the starting price of $280 million. Press 9 to return to the main menu.
Now press 3 because there's a good follow-up joke on 3.
They're cute, they're fun, and they poop everywhere.
Wait, didn't
it's
I just
one
do this?
For the ladies.
Oh, no.
Get it?
Yeah. 2,000 episodes can be produced in the next 2 years for your streaming company. Prices start in the mid-$700 million. Press 9 to return to the main menu.
Like, can we use Santa one time for the holiday season?
Yeah.
But which one? What number is that?
6.
For streaming rights to the Scott Mac.
Ho, 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 ho. This is Santa. If this is Netflix, darling, Santa has a show for you. It's Santa South Park. Only $480 million.
Press 9 to return to the main menu.
Okay, so you guys can call the number and hear the rest of them, but I guess the joke here is that, I don't know if you guys heard the news, but Trey and the South Park and Comedy Central, I don't know exactly who got the money, but they sold the streaming rights to HBO Max for what is reported to be around $500 million.
Oh my God.
There's a crazy amount of money.
Is that what the joke is referencing? It's that
I think so, yeah.
I think so, yeah.
Because
I think they're kind of making fun of themselves, right?
I mean, if the whole season is about selling out, or at least the Integrity Farms half of it is,
yeah,
then this is kind of the cap on that, because although I don't really see it as selling out, they're just extremely successful, and every show, Seinfeld, Friends, every successful show is making crazy deals on streaming services. But basically, now when you go to South Park Studios, it says South Park Studios powered by Hulu. In mid-2020, or maybe even mid-2021, it's going to change to South Park Studios powered by HBO Max.
I feel like it was good that they were self-aware, because they can't really make fun of the streaming wars without at least like referencing the fact that they're massively profiting off of it.
And I feel like they're just smirking at like the insane inflation of streaming economics, right? Like,
Yeah.
$500 million is so much money.
I'm wondering if during the 300th episode, when Randy is celebrating how much money he just made, I wonder if Trey and Matt were in the negotiation process for this deal, and they're just like, oh my God, the amount of money that we're about to make is retarded.
Dude, all every Friends cast member, I think, gets $20 million a year just for it being on Netflix. You know, and I'm pretty sure like every Seinfeld cast member gets around that same amount too.
Even David Schwimmer.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. So that someone would ever pay Ross that much money.
I don't see them, I kind of wish they had made their own news story about how massive that deal is in the episode. Because I don't know. I don't even see this hotline being really even a reference to that. You really have to know that inside baseball story of trade deals in the trades to even know that happened.
Oh, definitely. Yeah. I don't think it's super on the nose. I don't. And it's the same thing with the Mummy episode with Trey's marriage. You have to, because it really does seem like it's his vlog. He's just doing it for himself.
Yeah.
He doesn't even care anymore, because the show is so iconic and has such a devoted fan base that he can really make inside jokes that only he gets and people will still laugh.
Yeah.
Still don't know about that one, but okay.
All right. Let's go into a recap of Basic Cable. In this episode of The Scott Malkinson Show, Scott begs his dad for a Disney Plus account, but being an employee of the cable company, Mr. Malkinson refuses, saying that streaming services are ruining society. When Scott learns that the new girl in school, Sophie, also has diabetes, he immediately falls in love. Thing is, all the other boys in school are also into her, so Scott has to compete for her attention. Annoyed that the boys are constantly making fun of his diabetes, he refuses to let them ruin his chance at love. Meanwhile, Mr. Malkinson takes his sweet-ass time making a house call to fix Mr. Stotch's cable problem. When Mr. Stotch vows to switch to streaming, Mr. Malkinson laments that nobody watches the same shows anymore. Scott musters up the insulin to talk to Sophie and invites her over to watch the new episode of The Mandalorian at his house. So Cartman points Scott to Nathan, who gives Scott a Disney Plus password in exchange for bottles of insulin. Meanwhile, the cable workers come together and vow to sabotage the internet. Only thing is, they're egregiously slow at getting anything done. Sophie arrives at Scott's house and the internet starts bugging. After searching in vain for a better connection at Jimmy's, Token's, and finally Sophie's house, Scott binge eats a pie, gets some diabetic rage, and threatens the boys to stay away from his girlfriend. Sophie tells them they're not together and that he ought not think that they're an item just because she also has diabetes. Dejected, Scott leaves. Alone on the playground with a broken heart, Scott is eventually comforted by Sophie, who commiserates with his struggles with diabetes and tells him she likes The Scott Malkinson Show. End of episode. So let's start off talking about The Scott Malkinson Show. In terms of the music and the visuals, it's Mission Impossible, right? Like the old TV Mission Impossible?
I think so. There's a little bit of Secret Squirrel in there, too.
Is there nothing James Bond in it?
It's definitely James Bond-esque, but I was listening to the intro music to the original Mission Impossible show, and although it's the familiar tune that we all know, the instrumentals are very similar to what we hear.
Mission Impossible is more of a group detective show. You know, it's like a teamwork show. This very much
I'm talking
like,
more... Yeah, yeah.
Seemed like a solo kind of... Yeah, I feel I saw more Bond, but it didn't seem like a TV show version of Bond. Like, I don't know, MacGyver or something like that.
I liked the insulin, like, as his gun, because it's, like, his weapon of power.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was good. But, yeah, I think Jared... I'm with Jared. I think the... It's... I mean, it is definitely more of a Bond or, like, MacGyver as far as, like, a narrative goes, but, like, the aesthetics, like, the music choices and, like, the visuals were very, like... Mm-hmm. 60s spy show like Secret Squirrel or Mission Impossible.
Was Scott trying to commit suicide at the end of this episode when he was like not taking his insulin sitting there at the playground? You know what I'm talking about?
I don't think so. Oh, I think that was just to get the heartbreak joke from the monitor.
That is dark.
I saw him like look at his heartbreak monitor and then you know it seems like okay, he needs insulin there, and then he's like, well, I'm not going to take it because I'm worthless. That's what it seemed like. But
I thought it was just a joke that this insulin monitor tells you when your heart is broken, not necessarily that.
Yeah,
you
then he's
insulin.
Like sad because he gets told his heart's broken by the monitor.
So it was just more. OK, that makes more sense. And it's lighter.
Yeah, it was a lot less grim.
I felt like there was definitely something about like letting an aspect of your identity define like your whole self.
Right.
With like his insulin being representative of like his entire personality and like his moods and his heartbreak. And also that goes into the reason why he thought that he and why do I keep forgetting her name?
Sophie.
He and Sophie were like meant to be because they like both had the same identity marker.
Yeah, it was kind of a subtle takedown, not takedown, but just kind of, you know, of identity politics in their way.
For sure.
Know? Yeah, just kind of being like, all right, this one trait.
Not even identity politics per se. It's like this really infuriating thing about living in fucking 2019, which is like people mistake or like associate like aesthetics and circumstance with personality. Like they get them confused. Like, oh, you like The Mandalorian? You must be my friend. Or like, you have insulin? I have insulin. We must be friends. And it's like, those things aren't actually a personality. They're just sort of like abstract markers.
Right. Like, it was even funny that Sophie had to like announce her diabetes status to the entire class for them to fully know her.
Yeah.
It's interesting to hear you say that because I didn't even see it as anything that was necessarily contemporary. I mean, I remember being a kid and dreaming that I would meet somebody who was into the same things that I was,
someone,
whether or not
define gender?
Me as a person. Right, exactly. It reminds me of the episode
like
where
your interest is fine, but I feel
yeah,
like more and more.
Yeah, but insulin is not an interest.
Yeah, fair. But more and more it becomes an identity, I think, in like these days.
Because this episode is so focused on the meta of shows within shows, both like, you know, Mandalorian is a show within Star Wars and the Queef Sisters or Terrence and Phillip are a show within South Park. I was thinking it was more just a commentary on the way the show has characterized Scott Malkinson thus far as just the kid with diabetes. I mean, even in the video game, his superpower is his diabetes. He's Captain Diabetes. So I was seeing it more as a joke on that, but I guess I can see where you guys are coming from, how it's contemporarily relevant in how people define themselves these days.
Yeah, I think absolutely. I mean, I think, yeah, it's he has this one trait and he just automatically assumes it's already... You know, assume that she's going to be with me because we have the one similar trait. But no, people are different and multifaceted. And I like that point.
It's the opposite of the episode when Nicole first comes to school and Cartman sees her, and just because she's black and Token's black, he's like, oh my god, they must be in love.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's an inverse of that for sure.
There was also like some dark stuff about like relationships with like Scott assuming that like he kind of like had possession of like Sophie in a way, and like sort of like bristling anytime she talked to another guy. Like that was kind of like heavy if you like think about it.
He seemed so much more mature than him and pretty much all the other kids.
For sure.
I mean, also like Scott just like is so desperate for someone to connect to that as soon as he like feels that there's like an anchor point for him to be like, you're the special person for me, he like refuses to let go.
Right. He's like, I have diabetes. What do we do now?
Yeah.
It's so good.
He's like, I'm now, the least boy. and I need anything.
When his dad said, whatever, I'm Scott Malkinson, I have diabetes, that just broke my heart a little bit.
Yeah, but also it made me laugh a lot.
Yeah. But see, even that to me was the show making fun of itself for characterizing one of its cast members as just that one dimensional.
Yeah, no, I see that.
I did one underratedly hilarious moment, speaking of his dad, was the very beginning. For some reason, this really tickled me when Scott Malkinson's brushing his teeth and just repeating, I love you, dad, in the mirror to himself. I thought that was so weird and so funny.
That was real
weird. Once it comes
into
context, it lost some juice for me, but it was just so weird to imagine like a young child just like, I love you, dad.
Practicing.
I love you, dad.
Yeah, that was also seemingly dark. And then the next scene, it was put into context. But even then, a little kid brushing his teeth, practicing saying that he loves his dad is bizarre.
Yeah, I loved it. Very on my alley.
So I'm curious what you think about this, Lux. There's a part where Cartman says, if you and Sophie have a baby, it will have super diabetes. I'm pretty sure that will create a crater in the earth. Is this a reference to Death Stranding? And I only ask that because you know that Trey is a gamer.
I mean, it could be. It occurred to me for a second. It's just like that's not why craters happen in Death Stranding, but like, who knows? Who knows what Cartman understands? It definitely could be, or just could be like general comics, magic, weirdness stuff.
Or just this idea that a human being, because in Death Stranding, it's when a person dies, they can create a crater, right?
Yeah, well, when a person dies, BTs show up and make a crater.
For our listeners at home, Death Stranding is a video game, right?
Yeah, it's a video game. Yeah,
game of the year.
All right, let's move on to talking about basic cable. So really the only commentary I see here is when Mr. Malkinson says people don't watch the same shows anymore. Everyone is watching their own thing because you got assholes in Hollywood making niche content for everyone. Is that what you want? And then Mr. Stotch is like, yeah, I think I do.
that was my favorite line of the movie because I'm just like, yes, that is what we want. I'm sorry.
It was weird, though, because simultaneously, The Mandalorian is, like, somewhat monoculturally, like, everyone's talking about it constantly.
If anything is, it's definitely that.
Yeah.
Or at least Baby Yoda.
Right.
You got to break through the clutter. It's more competitive, but in a good way these days, I think. I mean, you got to find something that everyone likes, like The Mandalorian. But there's something for everyone, too. It's a good time to be alive.
I feel like they tend to take the side of the disruptor.
Yeah.
Generally, and this seemed pretty consistent with that.
I do think there was really a little bit more of a subtle sort of like implicit commentary, like I was saying before, like how it's kind of performing the Disney Plus thing, where it's just sort of like all the Disney Plus Avengers shows are all like, you remember this guy who cares? Now there's a TV show about that guy, etc. And this episode I felt like was really poking fun at that by just sort of showing how many of these weird layered internal shows they've made up about South Park and how kind of like doofy they all are, right? In the same way that like the Avengers turns into like Wanda and Vision and like the Bucky and Falcon show, like that's how they're doing like PC Babies and One for the Ladies, Integrity Farms. And so I thought it was kind of a funny implicit critique of just sort of like, yeah, if you take a thing people like enough, you can just keep making shows out of side characters ad infinitum. I thought that was a pretty good bit and a pretty true. That's the thing that I thought was most fun and like interesting to think about this episode.
I also saw kind of a meta angle, Jared. You know, like I definitely saw them, the basic cable people kind of. Oh, yeah. The basic cable people kind of standing in for South Park, you know, like even that one line you just read, like everyone used to watch the same show. Yeah, they all used to. Everyone used to watch South Park. It used to be way more in the pop culture zeitgeist, you know, when oh, a South Park episode came out, and then the next day, the whole water cooler effect, you're literally talking about it. Now I feel like you might catch it that day, or you might not, because you're taping it or something. There's definitely not that cumulative effect of it feeling like everyone's watching South Park these days. So I don't know. Did you guys feel that?
Yeah, a little bit. Having said that, they're obviously succeeding in the transition to streaming because they just made $500 million doing it.
Oh my God.
But I do think that there's probably something there.
But they're not watching it like, it's like less in the conversation, even though it's bigger, it's less like a, you know, feels like relevant.
Well, I feel like one of South Park's interesting things they're able to pull off kind of well is in these kind of episodes, and even in the Uber episode a little bit too, is like sort of show a sort of like interest in or respect for or even like nostalgia for the old times, but also like understand and like embrace the new different thing. And this episode felt like that. Like they were kind of like, everyone used to watch the same things and it used to be us and some other stuff, but instead there's these infinite choices, but actually infinite choices may be good. Yeah. And I like that. I think that that's like an impressive sort of degree of nuance and understanding of like this particular thing.
Yeah. So Lux, what you were talking about, there's a line that Mr. Malkinson says. He says, people now have thousands of shows at their fingertips 24/7. So now Hollywood people are creating shows within shows within shows. And then that's exactly what the episode starts to do, because it shows PC Babies, old ones like Terrence and Phillip and the Queef sisters.
I love that Terrence and Phillip ran the same number of seasons as South Park, by the way.
Yes. And it's been exactly 10 seasons since the Queef sister, since Eat, Pray, Queef, which was season 13, which is one of the best episodes, one of my favorites. Mm-hmm. And they have the Whites and the Blacks, Crab People on HBO Max. It's interesting that they didn't wink at HBO Max at all. I was looking for some sort of indication of them recognizing that that's the one that they're going to be on. But they seem to have treated it like any other streaming service. Mm-hmm. They have One for the Ladies. I have a question for you guys. There's a very strange moment in this episode where right after Scott sadly leaves after Sophie rejects him, it's a full screen cut to the intro graphic for One for the Ladies, and then it cuts to Scott at the playground. Did you guys experience this as well? Or it seemed like a glitch.
It felt weird. My only, yeah. I also, yeah, that happened to me too. My only read on that is like, maybe it's supposed to be like, and now the cute moment. But that feels reductive and stupid.
But there wasn't even any audio. It wasn't like, and now back to One for the Ladies. It was just the visuals
for the screen.
A solid 3 seconds. You don't even see the border of a television. It's full screen. It seemed like a mistake.
It seemed like the little cue card that comes back in for a show, like, and now we're back to this, but they didn't have that. So, but it felt like that to me.
Yeah, it felt like an interstitial, but it also felt empty for an interstitial and weird.
Yeah, it did.
Yeah.
If the network... Did all you guys watch it on Sling? How did you guys watch it?
I watched it on Sling. South Park Studio.
Yeah, me too.
And you... Okay, and you guys got the same thing?
Mm-hmm. It sounds like it.
I'm wondering if maybe the network changed the structure of the commercials at the last minute and something went weird, or maybe... I don't know. Maybe I'm missing something completely.
Yeah, I mean, unless it's supposed to be like, now it's Sophie time, it's time for Sophie to have her moment, and she's one of the ladies. But that seems like a real blurpy way to do it.
One of the things that I wish they emphasized more was just how shitty cable is. I haven't had cable in over a decade, and most of it is because, as Mr. Malkinson says, there are 240 channels of what he claims is whatever we want to watch, but those channels suck. The one moment I do appreciate in the episode is when the streaming is glitching, it goes to the Home Shopping Network, which not only reminds us of the Cash for Gold episode, but also reminds us of just how shitty most TV is and why people don't want cable anymore. Because it's not 240 channels of whatever you want to watch. It's 240 channels of what only, I don't know who watches that shit.
I would argue that it's less the 240 channel. It's less the abundance and more just how you're getting it. It's you know, people don't want to be like, oh shit, I'm... what's there on to watch right now? Shit, it's 8:17. I'm halfway through every show that's on right now. You want to be able to watch it that second. And it's the on-demand part, I think, that really makes streaming more valuable to people.
Yeah, the way it like negates time is really helpful, especially if you're someone like me who just like has a random schedule. And it's like, oh, I'm finally free to do something, and it's 2:17 in the morning. and if I was watching cable, it's like, well, I guess I'm watching the 700 Club or something.
I'm watching Next again.
Yeah, exactly. And so, like, I do appreciate that. And I think Ryan's right. I also just, like, think that the sort of, like, negotiating with cable companies element of the show, which I don't get into as much, is, like, such a problem.
I just went through this DirecTV. I got DirecTV installed, and they said, all right, we'll be there from 8 in the morning till 1 p.m. sometime. I'm like, so I got to be at home all day? Like, yes. Like, fuck you.
Why did
guys.
You get DirecTV?
Because it, 'cause when you work at, well, it's like an employee discount. You get it for $10 a month.
Working for AT&T.
Yeah, speaking of that, South Park, welcome to the family, baby. You know, HBO Max is owned by AT&T, so I think you're going to have a really good home here, Trey. Matt, they treat us well over there.
Oh, there cool. are literally only 5 companies.
You know, another thing that I think that the streaming war is upsetting is just the ritual of watching television.
Yeah.
Sure.
In the sense that I think that when I say that who the fuck is watching the Home Shopping Network, I think the answer is, well, nobody, in the sense that how we watch television or people of our generation watch television, because we watch television very deliberately. But for people that are a bit older, and there are still people that do it in our generation, it's more about ambience. Mm-hmm. It's about I'm at home alone all day, have chores to do. I'm putting something on just so I feel like I have company.
That's a boomer thing. Yeah. Not to go, I just had to research shit. Boomers for an entire month, and boomers literally watch, like, statistically way, sorry to piss off our one boomer listener, but they watch statistically way more TV because when they grew up, there were, like, TV was seen as, like, an objectively good thing, and there were no parental advisories, and it was just, like, watch TV, like, learn stuff, have fun. So, yeah, I definitely.
And that pisses me off because that's one of the reasons why advertising budgets for television are so inflated, is because they have these numbers saying, look, we have all these engaged audience members because people are watching for 9 hours a day. No, they're not. They're in the other room doing dishes, and it just happens to be on.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's isn't like it, you go to grandma's house, she just has the TV on, just playing ambiently.
Well, grandma's house, but grandmas aren't boomers, right? It's boomers and the people older than the boomers that are doing this.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it depends on your grandma.
And other people, too. I mean, my girlfriend, for example, she does heavy math-related work, and so she needs to watch, I think, what is it she has? Some true crime show.
Criminal Minds?
No, it's the documentary one.
She watches a forensic true crime files. Documentary while she does math?
Forensic Files is just on in the background all day off Netflix.
Wow.
I mean, yeah, there are days. I mean, the thing is that a lot of people, and this might be a generational thing, but a lot of people of our age, at least like people I know, like do that with podcasts. Like if I'm mm-hmm. researching out or like making my notes for an episode I'm directing for Wisecrack, I'll have a podcast playing in my house for 10, 12 hours straight as opposed to a TV.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's funny that they didn't even like mention binge watching because that's also like a big aspect. Totally. Of the
well, it's funny.
Wars,
Scott and Sophie do the opposite, right? Like they watch it like right when it streams and he has like the chairs and like the juice cooler and like the weird ornate table set up.
Yeah. That is a weird thing about the episode mm-hmm. in that it's trying to draw this distinction between everybody used to watch one show at the same time versus now people watch whatever they want, whenever they want. And yet when we see the younger generation engage with streaming, they're watching it all at the same time.
Because you got to watch The Mandalorian when it comes out.
Yeah. I mean, that started with Game of Thrones and like it's become a thing where there are some streaming shows where like they don't release the binge model. They release one at a time. And when they release one at a time, there's such a big discourse surrounding them that people are encouraged to watch them right when it happens so they don't get spoiled. Like that happened with Game of Thrones too, and it's happening with The Mando.
The only one I'm doing that for is Watchmen, but not because of spoilers, just because I want to see it.
I watch Survivor every week. I don't miss it. I watch it right when it comes out, like last night. Wow, what a tribal council last night, guys. Am I right?
Surely incredible. But yeah, no, but that's the thing is that like it's weird because, and who knows how this will play out long term, but like when streaming first started and in recent times, it's sort of been this thing of like, oh, it doesn't matter when you watch the show because it all releases at once and blah, 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 blah. But increasingly shows that they think that like are making a lot of money and are becoming like semi-monocultural are having the thing that Ryan was talking about earlier, this water cooler effect where like people would watch Game of Thrones and streams, Mandalorian, whatever. And I think it's interesting that we're sort of channel or streaming services are trying to find ways to bring that back because that's sort of like the real money zone of engagement or whatever.
Totally, because then your thing is in the headlines for months rather than like 3 days.
Yeah. Can you guys remember the first time that you streamed a movie or TV show? Oof. I remember I had a Netflix account. Early days, I was a Netflix evangelist in the early days because, you know, I lived in a suburb in Houston, and all I had was the local Hollywood Video. So if I wanted any kind of a foreign film, it was pretty slim chance that it was there. So when Netflix came around, I was like, oh my God, I have like all movies ever at my fingertips that can be sent to me. And then one day I was on there and there was this blue button that just said watch now. And I was like, there's no way this will work. And I clicked it and I watched the whole movie and there was no stuttering. And I was like, whoa, brave new world.
Yeah, baby. Here we are.
Oh my God.
Yeah, I remember like being an internet goblin and sort of finding like illegal streams of movies and stuff online, and then going to Netflix and finding out that they just had them and like they actually were high quality and worked and didn't have like weird German subtitles or whatever. And it was a grand epiphany.
I don't remember watching my first stream, but I certainly remember my first torrenting a movie off of Napster.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Because my mom wouldn't let me watch R-rated movies. I wanted to see American Pie so bad, and I got around her by downloading it from Korea or something, and it was amazing.
Was it over 56K, and did it take 3 days?
It was something like that. I had a whole operation going on my computer for a while. Yeah, 10 megabytes a second or whatever.
I still remember like the unmitigated joy of like discovering that there was a Netflix envelope in your mailbox. Like,
oh yeah,
that was profound.
Yeah, that was always
sure.
So good when you just be like, oh my God, E.T. the killer, finally.
Yeah, 10 megabytes.
Some people
a
listening
day,
this
actually.
Like Netflix envelope. What is what?
Oh my God.
Yeah, 10 megabytes a day is much closer. 10 megabytes a second. Yeah. I was about to say is like that's now. Like that's,
yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm in a
legit. Okay, so last thing I want to talk about is just people's favorite jokes about this episode. Oh, one other thing I wanted to mention, there's kind of a nice small moment where Scott Malkinson's dad is listening to 80s music while waiting to be called on a job in his van. Just more of him being an old fuck,
right?
You know, the old guard.
I did love the, or we can, I guess we'll talk about this, the favorite jokes part. Never mind.
No, go ahead.
Oh, I just loved how, like, every time the cable guys were doing a thing, they'd, like, get in the car and be like, vroom, and it would be like, music playing. And then, like, they'd swerve and, like, drive super aggressively and then, like, pull over at, like, a Burger King or whatever. Like, it would always be like, we're on our way to do the job. And then it would be like, just kidding. I'm going to go see Dr. Sleep.
Yeah.
And, like, the way the jokes escalated to, like, tanning beds and barber shops. Like Ryan said, it was just, like, really classic humor done really well.
Yeah, my favorite was, let's do it. And then it shows him getting a haircut.
Yeah. That was awesome.
All right. We're going to go into the mailbag. 213-534-8807. That's the number if you want to save us any voicemails.
Or,
I know that last week, excuse me, Ryan, 21ElfGut07 or ElfHut07. I know I promised last week that we got a lot of voicemails for Board Girls. Unfortunately, we did not get them loaded into the prompter in time. So Lux suggested we'll do some sort of voicemail mailbag extra episode at the end of the season. We'll figure something out. So for those of you who took the time to call, we appreciate it and we will get to those. But for now, we've got stuff on this episode as well as Turd Burglars. So let's start with the ones on this episode. Let's start with Rob.
Hi, Wisecrack, calling from Southern California here. It's Rob. I find it interesting that on an episode that is a bit meta about how South Park, which streams on streaming services, is doing an episode about cable and streaming services, that the show would have this sort of existential meltdown where the boundaries between what's happening in the show versus what are TV shows kind of all collapse in this big black hole of an episode. It's kind of interesting, too, because the entire season has gotten kind of meta. So that line between, okay, we're in South Park, Colorado versus we are in a TV show, the PC Babies or One for the Ladies. One for the Ladies just shows up out of nowhere, even though it has nothing to do with the show.
Yeah.
The little title card just shows up. And so it kind of feels like just the wall between reality and television is melting down. On purpose, and I'm not sure what their message was with that, what they intended. Anyway, I just thought that was interesting, a little bit of an existential black hole of an episode. Thanks, guys.
Agree. Love your enthusiasm.
Yeah, love the enthusiasm.
I was reflecting on this earlier that South Park is very often meta, but I feel like this season it's been pretty much every episode.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, it's interesting because it's like it is doing a cool thing where it's meta for the audience, but not for the characters in the show. Like there's no one in the show who's like, we're on a TV show or whatever, but every plot reference and like gag seems to like point to the audience and be like, remember, you're watching a TV show and we're talking about the TV show, but we talk about the thing in the show.
I mean, maybe it's just like a symptom of thinking about the same characters so much for 23 seasons that like Rob said, it gets kind of existential. Like, what are we doing? We're making a TV show, but like, what is that TV show? And what is like this character? I don't know.
Especially when you're making them in 6 days and really you're just going by your gut. It's like, what am I thinking about this morning? Okay, The Mandalorian, that was cool last night. I'm just gonna have to make an episode about that. How am I feeling about it? All right, well, that's gonna guide how I finish this script in time.
Mm-hmm. What am I thinking about animation this morning? Maybe the $500 million I just made from Streaming Wars. Okay, yeah. Let's make a thing about that.
Oh, but to answer Amanda's question, what is Trey spending the money on? This year, he's been buying up a lot of property around Los Angeles.
Really?
Interesting.
Is that true?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I'm not making... I mean, that's what Jacob said. Jacob said he read that somewhere.
He's starting a cult. I'll totally join.
Oh, I'll join.
I mean, sure. Is it personal property or is he, like, trying to make a thing?
I don't know. I think it's personal property. I think he's just buying houses, but I'm sure they're investments.
Okay. Mm.
Good for him.
Trey Parker's your landlord.
All right, let's go with Ethan.
Hey, what's up, Wisecrack? This is Ethan from Ohio calling for the South Park Respect Our Authority podcast. Huh. And I don't know if you guys noticed in the last episode, Basic Cable, at the very end, they had a number that said call Trey. Mm. And I don't know if any of you actually called that number, but it actually had a pretty fun, automated voice machine type thing with Trey responding to a bunch of them.
All right. Well, we're going to cut that because, yes, we did that at earlier episode. Yeah. But thank you for good looking out, Ethan.
Yeah, thanks for the heads up. We've played it on the podcast already.
And it was fun feeling like Trey was like personally talking to you for a sec.
Yeah.
Just calling your bud.
Mm-hmm.
All right, we got some from last week. Let's go with Eric.
Happy Thanksgiving, Wisecrack. This is Eric from Hawaii calling. I'm just calling in for the Respect Our Authority. I just saw the recent episode Turd Burglars of South Park. I really liked it. It also reminded me of an article I saw in the New York Post about perennium sunning. If you don't know what this is, it's basically going outside and sunning your asshole for 30 minutes, and it provides just enough vitamin D that as much as like a whole day in the outside.
And studies that.
It just got me thinking, what are some other of the weirdest health crazes that you can think of? If you happen to share any, please let the audience know. Thank you very much.
Placenta masks, bird poo masks.
Oh my God.
The jade egg for sure.
Snail stuff where like, I think it's like snails just eat at your feet to get rid of the bacteria. Am I making that up?
Oh yeah. No, there's one of those,
you could convince me you were making it up.
There's one with tiny shrimps where you like put your hands and feet into like a thing and the tiny shrimps eat all the gross shit off of it.
Oh my God, guys.
Yeah. In our Telegram chat, Jacob just sent everybody a article that was talking about this famous Instagram influencer who has this image of her sunning her butthole on Instagram and this whole long post about, I mean, she's very into new age stuff, but she also made similar claims like sunning your butthole for 7 minutes is as much as being outside in the sun all day. There's no way this woman measured that.
I just saw an article about this, but it was under the context of James Brolin. James Brolin, the actor, has thoughts on on butthole tanning, and it just says, do not do it. I guess he had a traumatic experience. So go read about James Brolin's asshole tanning on Google.
I don't know if we want to get too specific, but I mean, like, Amanda, maybe you can identify as somebody also with fair skin and red hair. Oh, sunburns hurt.
I am not doing this. No matter how good
sunburns are. Sunburns are bad.
Sunburns are very bad. All right, let's do one more. Let's do one from Jacob.
Respect my authority, my fellow authoritarian. Hello, Wisecrack. I'm calling in regards to your South Park podcast, Respect My Authority, with the episode Turd Burglars. I was very curious on what you guys thought about the if it had any correlation with the Gwyneth Paltrow episode website, The Goo, and how it proposes alternative medicines and kind of the ancient wumbo jumbo that people cling on to instead of real medicine, since and that can even correlate to the Shots episode when Eric Cartman screams conscientious objector. And I just think you guys would kind of spot that, but I don't know. Kind of want to know your opinions on that. Bye.
These guys just got to listen to the podcast and listen to my intro bits. These are my two intro bits, or Gwyneth Paltrow and butthole stuff.
So I think because we did not do, because we were remote last week and because we didn't have these, I think they actually came in before we recorded the episode.
Probably
I'm
so,
now just realizing that.
Yeah.
Great minds think about buttholes and Gwyneth Paltrow.
All right. So Lux already got you guys covered. But if in the case that you did not listen to the episode, go ahead and listen to it, because Lux knows all about that goop and that sun butt.
But it is definitely, I mean, to get to like the bigger point, the theoretical point he's getting at, it definitely is a critique of stuff like goop or other like new agey, nonsensey healing stuff.
Is crazy. Did the sun butt, I'm just going to call it sun butt. Did the sun butt thing happen before or after the episode aired? Because it was
a like little before. Band. It was like 2 days. Like the article was going viral the day before the episode aired, I think.
Okay, so I think this is another example of them being prescient then, because obviously they didn't start writing the episode 2 days before it came out. They would at least need 4 days. But, you know, with the whole banned in China thing and how the NBA thing only became a deal after the episode came out, and this happened again.
They're prophets.
They are prophets. But yeah, the idea that, and the funny thing is that stealing someone else's poop and suntanning your butthole, if you presented both of those to me and said which one is a South Park episode, I wouldn't be able to tell you.
Good point. Slightly off topic, but in the movie Knives Out that's out right now, there's a pretty funny like goop Gwyneth Paltrow takeoff. There's somebody that has like a very similar website where they're definitely parodying her. So I feel like that's kind of in the zeitgeist.
God, that movie fucking whips.
I love that movie. Yeah.
The movie was so fucking good.
God,
I got shit to say. Say that right
now. Okay. Well, I have to watch The Irishman again for next week's show.
How do you have 48 hours to watch that movie twice?
I know. I'm concerned. All right, now we're going to go into the emails. You can hit us up at southpark@wisecrack.co. We still got one more episode of the season. Lux, what do we got?
All right, we got a bunch about this episode, and we have one really good one about poop transplants. But I'll start with the ones from this week. So we got one from Matthew Luke, who says, "Wow, there was so much to love about this episode. The town felt so alive as they showed all these minor characters build on their previously established roles as they interacted with Scott's story. All of it showed how South Park has this huge pool of characters to draw from. Many can carry their own episodes / streaming shows. The ending with Scott realizing there might be more to him than being a one-note character tied it all together in that way nicely. What do you guys think of the town of South Park and its development throughout the series? It's been a place where Matt and Trey can do just about anything with for a while now. But with all the experiments this season, do you think that there's more to it than just South Park is an open canvas? I think South Park is like its own character, and we've been looking at its microbiomes this whole time." Matthew.
Love it.
I was going to say, so what do you guys think? So go for it.
I mean, I definitely feel like it's like this episode was an extended commentary on like the extended universe trope that's happening in a lot of media for sure. So besides just having fun with it, I think they also were like making fun of other people who do that.
It is weird how South Park. Yeah, they always become what they make fun of because even. So I recently started getting into their mobile game Phone Destroyer, which is basically extended universe because all these minor characters that you may not have thought about have their own cards that you want to work really hard to achieve or to accumulate. And of course, there's the video games that literally tie into season 18, is it? I'm probably getting that wrong. It might be 17 or 18. So, yeah, there is a South Park extended universe and it may not be ever as egregious as Marvel, but maybe could be.
Make 23 seasons of something. You're going to have some little characters out there.
Yeah, and I do think it is interesting that they've turned the city, the town, from less of like a weird canvas for stuff into like a petri dish. Like, they're not like really adding shit anymore. They're just kind of like moving shit around.
Well, we got Sophie.
That's true. We got Sophie. That's true. But Sophie's, we'll see if Sophie's a permanent installation, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that they often are, though. Like, when was the last time they introduced a character, at least a new kid at school, that didn't stay? Because Nicole has been a pretty essential staple.
Where the fuck is Heidi?
Also, it was interesting. This was the first time they referenced Heidi at all when Cartman, that was a great moment when Cartman was talking about how relationships are like super diabetes.
10 times worse than they're diabetes. Just,
they're just work and work and work. Yeah. All right. What do we got next?
We got one from Heather, who says, writing to you about the new episode of South Park with the new girl with diabetes. They did a wonderful job in depicting diabetes. With all the new advancements in diabetes therapy, Scott is still using old finger-pricking equipment, while the new girl has a sensor connected to her phone, which gives her low glucose alarms. I myself have a sensor that sticks on my upper arm, which I can scan using my phone to get a continuous readout of my current blood glucose levels. The latest version of this has Bluetooth functionality that alerts when glucose is low. Matt and Trey really show they know what's going on, and I'm very sad the season is almost over. I nearly cringed to death when the guy selling streaming passwords straight up injected himself with Scott's... Oh, I forgot we didn't talk about this. Straight up injected himself with Scott's insulin to check if it was good stuff. That shit can kill a motherfucker. Anyways, how do you guys think this new girl will play into the rest of the show? Do you think she'll return, or will we never see her again? Love the show. Keep up wisecracking and have a wonderful day.
Just talked about that. Awesome.
Yeah.
I have so many thoughts on this. Wait. Now I forgot. Someone else go.
Well, I think it's worth pointing out the part where Nathan tries the glucose to see if it's, quote, good stuff. Because insulin is very funny. And also, I thought that I wasn't sure if that could kill someone, but I'm glad you cleared that up, because I thought it was really bad to take people's insulin.
Here's what I was going to say. They totally, anytime they talk about a topic, they like definitely become experts on it, like both with what Heather said about the diabetes and with the cable guys talking about how specifically they were going to shut down the internet. Like, did you notice how specific they got, like about the insulation and like which...
See, I'm totally ignorant of that stuff, so no.
No, like I didn't know, but it sounded like they were using highly technical terms.
I mean, at least some of it's real. I know from like laying cable for shows and stuff.
Yeah, anyway.
Oh, cool.
But they also, and I mean, same with the board game shit. Like,
That I know Trey is a nerd for, because he's been on like RPG podcasts and stuff, and he talks about D&D.
Yeah, but like there's a difference between being into D&D and being into like Euros and stuff. Like that's a whole different zone of being a dork.
He's a deep nerd.
Both of, but that's neither here nor there. All right, the next one we got is from Ben, who says, hey Wisecrack, huge fan of all y'all's content. I had a question related to the latest episode. How do y'all feel about more episodes that center on a character that isn't very developed? I personally loved seeing more of Scott Malkinson and his diabetes. What other characters do you think would be able to have an episode like this one? It wouldn't be as enjoyable with a complete background character that no one knows anything about. I'm having trouble thinking of a character that would be a good fit. Ben.
Oh man, there are so many good ones. Mm-hmm. One thing I want to add to that last email, though, in terms of Scott Malkinson having the old school insulin monitor and then Sophie having the new one, I think that's just more characterization in that his father is stuck in the old ways, whether it's cable
or insulin monitors
and stuff like that.
Word.
But sorry, onto this new email. There are so many characters I'd love to see, specifically a lot of the women characters. Like, I mean, whenever Wendy gets the spotlight, it's usually pretty awesome.
Yeah.
So I would like to see more of that. I want to know what happened to Heidi. What is she like these days? Is she still fat? Is she still angry? Is she back to normal? Is she eating meat? I'd like to, like, Bebe. Like, what's her deal?
Give me a good weird Ike episode.
Yeah.
I love the episode where Ike goes through puberty.
Yeah. Like, I haven't seen Ike in a while. But who are some, like, super fresh ones?
You know who we haven't seen in a while that I would love is, I love every Jesus episode. If we can get another Jesus episode.
Oh, yeah. Bringing Jesus back in the mix would be definitely good.
You know what? This like season has been very, I guess probably the past few seasons have been like more firmly rooted in like reality, you know, like they're not really as supernatural anymore. It's kind of interesting. Right.
No giant Barbara Streisand monsters this season.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
No Kyle becoming a universal demiurge thing.
No Satan fighting man, bear, pig. I mean, right. I guess there is the whole Dune thing with last episode.
That's true.
Which is at least making a commentary on real science.
Yeah, yeah,
it's not just crazy mecha Streisand shit.
The spice?
I've always wondered what, like, a Clyde episode would be like, or, like, Jason, or one of those kids who's just sort of, like, the normal boy.
Wait, but didn't Jason die?
Oh, maybe that's true. You know, but a Jason-esque type.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, those, I don't know.
Those could be fun. But yeah, there's a ton. I think that there's a lot of characters would be really fun to play around with.
Does anyone else, whenever they start an episode and it's clearly about a side character, not with the main gang, my heart goes a little bit like, oh shit, okay, well, this is going to be a different one. They better nail it. I like have a little bit more expectations, and like I'm like I'm not getting what I came here for, but okay, impress me. You know, anybody?
Yeah, no, for sure. Like they can feed you like a basic kid episode, and it's generally like pretty fun because it's so familiar.
I mean, like, that's what last week was for me, right? Like, I really enjoyed Turd Burglars largely because we were talking about this on the show that just like it's those boys doing dumb poop stuff.
I wasn't here last week, and my grade for last week, A-. Love Turd Burglars.
Yeah.
Oh, so cool.
All right. This is the one, speaking of Turd Burglars, where we get some science about poop.
Finally.
This is from Wen, who says, I actually study microbiology in university, and I wanted to clarify a few things about fecal transplants. Just to be clear, almost all of us carry some C. diff, Clostridium difficile, in our gut, but normally they are outcompeted by our beneficial gut bacteria. When we take large doses of antibiotics for whatever reason, surgery, etc., their high resistance antibiotics lets them survive where the beneficial bacteria can't, causing big problems. Fecal transplants solve this. Just to be clear, poop transplants are not done with healthy people and wouldn't really work with people who already have an established gut microbiome. For healthy people, you can just eat those pre-probiotic yogurts. Also, as hilarious as the image of a doctor blending feces and injecting it is not how poop transplants are done. The feces are prepped, diluted, mixed, and filtered before being introduced so that no random crap, pun intended, gets transplanted. Lastly, I talked to my doctor friend, and apparently poop transplant donors are carefully selected and can even get paid if their poop fulfills the desired traits. Poop shape and consistency being some of them. That's very funny. As amazing as that sounds, though, apparently there are now pharmaceutical repopulate pills. It's an actual trademarked term, which are preferred. Yes, the pills are essentially encapsulated poop. I hope this was insightful and didn't turn into a microbiology lecture. Thanks for the great work. When, P.S., I Googled repopulate pills and found a pill by the name shampoo came up first. Okay. Doctors and medical researchers are evidently not above poop jokes.
Wow, that was a very insightful microbiology lecture.
Yeah, that was super amazing and hilarious.
I wonder if at universities now they have, because I remember in my university there was like, oh, you know, we're looking for people with certain GPAs for sperm donation.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I wonder if they have, we're looking for people with certain diets and exercise routines for poop.
And consistencies of poop.
Yeah, what's the primo shape is my question.
Yeah.
Like when they're like what's the mold? You know,
yeah. When if you could do some more research for us, we'd really appreciate it.
Yeah.
All right, we'll see you guys next week for the final episode of South Park season 23. Yeah, I know.
Well, maybe we'll do the mailbag thing
too quick.
And then, unless we do the mailbag thing. All right, we'll see you guys next time. Peace.
Later.
Howdy ho, neighbors. Goodbye.
Later.